This week in Your Parents' Basement, we are celebrating the best and the worst of what the video game industry had to offer us. It's the 2020 Your Parents' Basement Sweet Baby Awards. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the velvet-voiced angel of podcasting. It's Huel Hauser.
Steve, I've dusted off the tux. I've dusted off the microphone. I am so excited to be here with my sweet baby boys.
Ah, well, we can do the show without our other co-host. He can jam with the console cowboys in cyberspace. It's Todd Brisket.
You know what? I never thought you'd be going anywhere without crossing two sticks with me.
Oh, a fabulous moment in YPB history. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give it some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at ypbpodcast.com. It's too late to get all sorts of prezzies delivered for the holiday of your choice, so instead, hey, just buy some crap for yourself.
Does that still work? Like, that's still...
Yeah.
Oh.
It does.
No. Hmm. Yeah. I used it for all my shopping.
I should have been using it this whole time.
Listen, I don't mind kicking back a little bit to myself. Nothing wrong with that. This isn't, you know... Anyways... This week's game is the annual Sweeties. This is our sixth annual award show. Now, in case you missed the first five and you're just checking in for this one, here's the general format. Each of us will talk about our three favorite games of the year and maybe an honorable mention or two, and our three worst games. Now, remember, these are just games we played this year. It doesn't matter what year they were released, which is important. Let's start with someone else because I've been talking too much and because his name is first on the agenda here, Todd.
Hey, boys. Good talking. Good talking to you again.
Yeah, are we not addressing the elephant in the room that this is the first episode in 9 months?
Nine months. It has been 9 months.
It has been
correct.
Quite a while.
A lot of game time in that 9 months due to a little
reason. I've been playing a lot of video games this year.
Yeah, let's just not mention it right now, but...
very weird.
Let's move on to the meat of the show anyway. Let's bypass the elephant in the room.
Not that much happened in the past 9 months.
No.
Not really.
Yeah. I mean, my life didn't change.
Yeah, friend of the show, Don, has had an uneventful time.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And we've just been hanging out, just doing our thing.
Doing our thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got married and nothing else happened. So.
Yeah,
we did mention what we've been doing since the show has
taken
a 9 month break.
Thinking, like...
Because, you know, I mentioned at the end, or not the end, the previous episode that
last week
that I was moving on to be a producer at Your Uncle's Attic. The video game podcast where we cover games only made after the year 2000 in your uncle's attic.
Interesting.
And that's been pretty successful. It's been paying my bills.
Going good. Okay.
Yeah, cool. Going good.
Yeah. Well, my uncle who works at Nintendo got me a job there, so I've just been sitting in a cubicle answering the hotline and helping people out with their games.
Nice. Yeah. Giving some hot tips.
I got all the games there, ready to go. Just plug them in. See where
that's cool. Stuck. That's a dream job right there.
I never thought it could happen, but it just shoot for the stars. You'll get what you want.
The Nintendo catalog at your fingertips.
All the games. Sometimes I just run my fingers down the cartridges.
Wow. Well, fuel even better for you. All those manuals.
Oh, you don't want to even believe. I can't even begin to describe the rooms of manuals that they have there.
they got everything. They got DuckTales.
Yep.
Got DuckTales 2.
Mario 1.
Mario
2.
Oh.
Mario 3.
What?
What about Mario Paint?
Got Mario Paint, Pokemon Snap.
Ironically, Mario's missing. Manuel is not missing.
It's gone.
It's right there. Not
even there. Mario's missing. Manuel is not missing.
Nope. It's right in there.
Alrighty.
Alright.
So that's what we've been up to.
Yeah, I've been up to much. So just been hanging out with a dog. Got married. That was it.
Got a new job.
Nothing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that too.
Good, you know, good getting job. Married, changing careers. Not a big deal.
Outside of those few things, though,
small
things. I've not done anything. So.
Cool.
Yeah. I was on a rom-com podcast. That was fun.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I didn't listen to it just because I'm not into the rom-coms. Mm. I do like Steve, but not enough to make me
listen
to a rom-com podcast.
You haven't lived until you've heard 2.5 hours on The Kissing Booth.
Mm.
Great famed starring vehicle.
Netflix film.
Yes.
Is that a Netflix vehicle joint?
Nets the Flix did, in fact, produce that movie.
The air Netflix.
You know what? Like a lot of their stuff, did not leave a single frame on the floor.
It's nice. I mean, you got to get the whole story.
Yeah.
They shot 95 minutes and they aired 95 minutes.
Yep. I mean, maybe they've even aired 100 minutes. You know, sometimes you got to replay a scene just because.
Got to make sure the audience is engaged.
Yep. Speaking of engaging the audience.
We should do
that. Do you? Yes. That was a Weiger-like transition, but Todd?
Knocking off the rust.
Ha ha ha. Todd, was there a game that you played this year that you enjoyed?
Yeah, there were a few. There were a few that I enjoyed. And this year, more than most, my ratio of good games to bad games has drastically increased.
I wonder why.
But I'll go through let's go through our best games of the year with our top threes. But I do want to give, I want to quickly run through a few honorable mentions, very quickly. I know last year, I listened to last year's episode, I went long on these. But quickly. Well,
look, I'll just say, we've played a lot of games this year, probably, and we also have done very few episodes this year. So if you want to wax, I say wax on, my friend.
Yes. I don't know about wax. We got a lot of other tent to get to. But I'll just quickly say my honorable mentions for this year's best games: Fortnite. I have
really?
It is
wow.
It is a game people scoff, guffaw, shun.
I just did. Yeah,
I just heard that.
But I have a hell of a time playing with my kids, where we squat up and we knock out those noobs. We pop those scrubs' heads clean off. Fantastic. So it's a lot of fun. Ni No Kuni: Wrath of the White Witch. Ooh. I played this one. It is a fantastic little RPG. It is I would say it's the best version of a Ghibli movie you can get on a video game, which is what it is.
High praise.
That being said, I'd rather watch a Ghibli movie. So there we go.
Well, there you go.
It's a fun little romp. Okay. So now those were my only honorable mentions this year. Okay. Number three, coming in hot. Number three game of the year. Are you ready for this? It's a game you maybe not have even been aware of. It's called Bloons TD 6. It is on Steam. It is on iPads. It is on Androids. It is on every single device. It is Bloons, Bloons. It's a tower defense game going back to Bloon, the original Bloons on Newgrounds back in 2000. It's a tower defense game. The reason why this one made my list this year is that this is a game that is fun. I love to play with my kids on tower defense. There's a lot to unlock. There's a lot of achievements to get. I pop on this game every day to do the daily challenge, and it has just eaten up a lot of my life. It is, yeah. The daily challenge, you have to do 365 daily challenges to get the achievement for 365 daily challenges.
Why 365? It's a weird number.
I don't know. It's like 12 months times 4 or something. I don't know what that number is.
Okay. 4 months is doable.
Yeah. So that's my number 3. Any questions, comments, concerns on that one?
I heard of it. You were correct in that assumption.
If you look at my Steam gameplay playtime, that is ranking up there with the idle clickers.
I do notice that you play that a lot, and I think I have asked you, do you need to play the first 5 games to really get the plot of that one?
Story of these balloons that seem to fight one another.
I mean, if you're a completionist, I would definitely say yes, you must play through the entire series. But it's one of those where you might just do a little cliff notes on the first 5 and hop in the 6th.
Quick question, does TD mean touchdown? Are these football balloons?
I would make a joke, but I'm just going to tell you it's tower defense.
Oh, yeah, you did say that.
Okay. It is a tower defense game. That is the genre it is. It's tower defense.
A lot of sense.
Yeah. Right. My number 2 game of the year. It's one that came out in years previous, but it only was on PC very recently within the past year or two. It's a game with a lot of story, a lot to do, a lot of mini games. It's called Red's Dead Redemption 2.
Red's Dead Redemption number 2.
Number 2.
Ooh.
Excellent choice. I believe this was my number one 2 years ago.
Yeah, you played it on Sony's the PlayStation.
Sony's the third PlayStation, yeah.
And for me, it only came out on PC about a year ago at this point. We might be timestamping this episode. It's not evergreen.
Yeah, it came out
might have came out a year ago.
So yeah, Sweeties 2018, I believe this was my number one.
Wow. Yeah, so it came out on PC for me in 2019, and I put my hours into it this year in 2020. It is a fantastic game. Lots of storytelling. Good. Deep, 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 it's rich.
A deep story-driven game.
Yeah.
Very deep. Excellent choice.
Excellent choice.
Only number 2.
Only number 2.
It is 2 years old, so, you know.
Yeah. My number 1, also a deep, deep story-driven game in a similar vein. Very similar style. It is the Japan's version of a GTA series, the entry number 0, it is called Yakuza 0.
Oh, wow.
That is my game of the year.
I've heard
Yakuza 0.
I've heard many good things. Number 1. Yakuza
number 0. 1. Here's the thing. The way I describe it is Japan's version of a GTA game. That's the way I describe it.
Okay.
It is nutty. It is insane. Every minigame, you're doing boss battles with other rival gang leaders, and to defeat them, you must do a karaoke sing-off with them. So it's stuff like that. It is insane. And it is, I've been addicted to it since I got it. I cannot stop playing this game.
Wow.
People do love that series.
I've got
to
add.
This is my first entree into the series because it came out on PC. They ported 0, 1, and 2 onto the PC, and 0 was on sale for $5, and I picked it up. I'm like, people, I've heard good words about this one. Mm-hmm. Picked it up for $5, and I just cannot put it down. I'm so excited to play the other 6 or 7 games in the series now.
Yeah, I feel like it's the indie darling, if there is such a thing, for open world AAA games.
Is it an indie?
No, not at all.
It's a Sega joint.
It's the indie.
It is a Sega joint by Mr. Shamui himself. What's his name? So you do have arcades inside. Inside the game of Yakuza, you can go into arcades and play Outrun and what's the other ones?
Shamui 2.
Space Harrier.
Shamui 3. Oh.
Oh yeah, those are in the later games, I guess.
Wait.
You can play in the later game of Yakuza. You can go and play Shamui.
So hang on, is Yakuza 0 is a more recent game, correct?
It is. It came out in 2017 or 18, I believe, but it was ported to PC about a year ago.
I thought it was newer. Okay,
but the reason why it's called Yakuza
newer
0
than
is
like
because
1, 2, and 3 and all that.
Oh yeah, it's newer than 5. It's
right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 were all on PlayStation 2 up through 4. And then Yakuza 0 came out, which is a prequel, which is the one I started with just because it was on sale. It's a prequel that takes place in the 80s.
Oh, that's tight.
And so I'm playing that one right now. And right after this, right after I wrap up Zero, I'll be moving on to Yakuza 1.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I've heard good things. I thought it was more recent than that because I've been hearing about it a lot, but maybe it's because it just came out on PC, like you said.
Well, here's the thing. There's one that just came out called Yakuza Dragon Rises or something like that, which is the seventh game. Hmm. And that's been getting a lot of buzz right now.
That might be what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Isn't one of them like a turn-based RPG?
That is the newest one. They changed the formula. No, all of them previously, it's kind of a, it's a beat 'em up. It's not if you think of GTA, it's more gun centric. A lot of shooting.
Yeah.
A lot of explosions. Mm-hmm. Yakuza is the Japanese equivalent, the applied GTA. In which case, you know, they're not as down with the guns over there. So it's a beat 'em up.
Where does Yakuza Tactics fall in the time frame?
Yakuza Gaiden.
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, it's probably coming.
Very passionate, number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it surprised me. It's always been on my radar, something to try. And once I tried, I just got hooked. It's taken me over this year.
Taken you over.
All right. Well, Huel, what is your top three?
All right. So, as alluded, I've had a lot of time to play video games this year. Weird. I don't know why. I just seem to focus on them more. But I'm going to throw out a few more honorable mentions than Todd because I played so many games. So two games that I replayed and rebeat this year. First, Link to the Past, a game we never got to cover. But on the Switch, if you subscribe to Nintendo Online, you get a ton of like virtual NES and SNES games. So as soon as I downloaded the SNES, I went right into Link to the Past. I'm not really planning on playing it again, but like I started up, I'm like, oh, this is fun. And then I couldn't stop. Like I had to keep going.
LTTP.
Yeah. And so I had beat it legitimately once on a SNES. So this time around, I'm like, I'm going to use save states. I'm going to use a rewind. I'm not going to kill myself here. But I did beat it though using a lot of save states. So I beat that again. Still great. Still an excellent game. Still probably in my top five ever. And I also replayed Outer Worlds, which was a big one.
Oh.
Big one in last year's Sweeties.
The Outer Worlds. Yeah. And get them worlds outered here.
Yeah. I started a new run through to pick up some Chiefs, pick up some Trophs, and also tacked on the first DLC that just came out, Paralong Gorgon, which was very good. So
very good DLC. How is that DLC? So I haven't even looked into it yet.
Super good. You can get the normal season pass. So the second one hasn't come out yet, but I would definitely recommend it.
I've been thinking about that season pass, but it's also like, man, they are not producing these quickly. Oh,
they are not. Yeah, I would have expected a lot more by now because
a year ago,
when we talked about it last year, we were saying like, how ripe this thing is for expansions.
Yeah,
if they came out with like 2 months later, I would have immediately played it.
Well, certain things in the world might have slowed things down, like people playing too many video games. So you never know. So those were things I replayed, but then three other games that didn't make my top three, but I need to mention Luigi's Mansion 3. I'd never played a Luigi's Mansion before. I found this on sale on the Switch. I loved it. I love Luigi. He's a great guy. I love how big of a pussy he is. That's his main quality, which is fantastic. It's super fun. It's a fun little platformer. Also played Jedi Fallen Order. Big Star Wars nerd. This is like a Tomb Raider-ish, Uncharted-ish Star Wars game, but you get to swing around a lightsaber, use some Jedi powers.
That's short in my queue because it's on the Xbox Game Pass. By the way, best value per dollar out there right now is the Xbox Game Pass. That's free to play, not free to play because I'm paying for the Xbox Game Pass, but it is up there in my queue.
It's like when people say something's free on Netflix. It's like, no.
Yeah, they say, it's free on Amazon Prime. Oh, wait, you're paying for Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it's not extra. It's on the pass. But no, it's fun. Like, it's not great. I mean, it's not, like, outstanding, but it's, like, perfectly acceptable, fun Star Wars adventure. A lot of different planets. You get to fly a ship. Well, you don't fly the ship, but you're on a ship. It's almost like Outer Worlds Star Wars. which sounds weird.
Nice.
Sounds weird, but
and that sounds great to me. Yeah. I need to play that. I need to bump that in my queue.
No, it's more action adventure than Outer Worlds is. But as far as like you're on a ship, you've got a crew, you're hopping around, you're a Jedi. I mean, what more do you want? But I also
you're force pushing people.
Yeah,
you're force pushing. Probably you're force pulling.
Either force pushing or electrocuting, depending how good or bad you are.
You're pulling. You're pushing. You're slapping. Can
you play as the Baby Yoda yet?
He is your sidekick.
The entire game.
Yeah, the entire game. It was weird because this like actually spoiled Baby Yoda, but no one realized it.
Ah, damn it!
Until Hey Mando came out. They're like, oh, Jedi Fallen Order, it ruined the whole thing. It was weird. No one played it. But I have to give another special shout out to a game that, well, not a game, but a company that Todd and I love, one of their games, Witcher 3, the new game, Cyberpunk 2077, that
I've been
playing for a week, obsessively. It's crashed on me at least twice.
Nice
day, but I still start it right up again and not back.
So let me ask and clarify: is this only on your honorables just because it has only recently came out and you cannot?
Yeah, I can't. I cannot legitimately put it in my top three because it's too, it's too new. I haven't beat it. Like I'm still fresh in the world of Night City, even though I probably have like 30 hours invested. It's all super buggy, so it's like it's still.
I'm so excited to play it. I have so many games stacked up. I mean, I still actually Red Dead was on my list, but I still haven't beat it yet. I still have to beat it.
Well, wait also, for the patches. You're good waiting for the patches. I'm playing on PS4, which is like the worst way to play it, apparently. so that's also an issue. But I have to give a special shout out just because we've talked about Witcher 3 so much, and this is this is their next big game. So,
you know what motorcycles are in Cyberpunk 2077?
Are they like horses of modern times?
They're horses of the future.
But they're like...
Because it's in the future. It's 2077.
Oh, okay. I don't quite know where the math lies on that, but I'm just going to agree with you.
Although this is an evergreen ep, so let's say it's horses of the now.
Horses of the day in 2077.
Yeah, I feel... I'm not super jazzed about Cyberpunk. I don't know what it is. Like,
you love
I don't know.
Fallout.
I'm sure I'm gonna play it and like it, but
it's but basically- did you ever Witcher? Hugh, how is it gameplay wise compared to Mr. Jerry Witcherman?
It's pretty different. Because it's all first person. You can't switch to third person, and it, obviously it's more shootery because it didn't have guns in Gary's time. but it's basically like Fallout 3 and 4 is the more apt comparison.
Yeah.
But the open world's there, the upgrades are there.
From all description, it sounds like a game that Steve would like.
Steve would like this.
See, I'm not sold on the setting. That's my issue. Where it's like,
What was the Cyberpunk game we played, that RPG?
Oh, Shadowrun.
Shadowrun, yeah.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, Shadowrun is what made me excited for this also, because I like Shadowrun so much.
Oh. Yeah, Shadowrun's it's a modern D&D setting, which is like you get orcs and elves and stuff, but they're all like elves are hackers and orcs are...
it's cyberpunk.
Hacking in these lowjacks on cars and stuff like that. Whatever they do.
Well, Steve,
you know, it's modern.
Steve
modern future.
Doesn't want to run with this cyber cowboy, or what was it? Console cowboys in cyberspace. He's not down with it.
No, I'm famously not down with that.
Famously against it.
Yeah, she recently did a interview with the AV Club where she said that she was ashamed of that role.
I don't know why, because that is how I know her.
She does not seem to have much levity about herself. I think from that interview.
I think she is a dramatic actor.
Yes.
A very serious actor who dances around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. And her current show, it's basically, it sounded like an excuse for her to drink wine in Italy, which is great, but whatever.
Julia Stiles, for the listener, that's who we're speaking about.
Oh, they know.
I would love to play the drop, but as we
unfortunately we
talked about in the pre-tape, my drop machine is broken at the moment.
Yeah, Todd spilled beer all over the drop machine like 2 minutes before we were on, and it was tragic, honestly.
Yeah.
The silence for the drop machine. All right, my real top three.
Oh, okay. We didn't even get to top three. We were talking so much about Cyberpunk, not even your top three. Okay,
that's
top
why five. I said let's wax, because I was ready to wax. Number three that I played this year, Uncharted 4.
Oh.
Came out May of 2016, and another side honorable mention, because I played all three Uncharted games before this year. The remastered for the collection. Time. Yeah.
First time?
Yeah, all four for the first time. I played them one to four all in a row. The remastered collection was free on PS Plus. Uncharted 4 was free on PS Plus. They were sitting there downloaded for a couple years, so I finally broke through, busted through all of them. But Uncharted 4 is fantastic. It's the only one that was actually released for PS4, so it's the best as far as gameplay and graphics, but I love the whole series. The whole series was excellent.
Yeah, this is why I'm sad I'm not a console kitty.
I am a console cowboy.
I'm a PC Master Race fella. I don't have a PlayStation. That's one of the series that I'm so sad I have missed out on. Well, it looks so much fun. Looks like so much fun.
Spoiler alert, this is a very PlayStation heavy list. but yeah, Uncharted 4 is the representative of all the entire series on this list, because I love playing through all of them. Number two, the Kojima classic Death Stranding.
Oh, enormous Reedus vehicle.
Enormous Reedus. Mad Mikkelsen's own.
Mad Mikkels is in there?
I didn't know Mads Mikkelsen. There. How did you not know?
Yeah. I did not know. I've only seen Enormous Reedus' face.
This is the
Conan O'Brien in it as well.
Conan's there. Yep.
Well, Conan's making cameos in a lot of games nowadays, but yeah.
A lot of different one of your favorites, Gilly the Bull. How do we call him? Guillermo del Toro.
Oh yeah.
His likeness is
Billy the Bull. Billy of the Bull. Billy of the Bull.
But they use like his model, but someone else does the voice acting, but it's just like him. He's just in it, like as a character. But yeah, it's an insane fucking game.
Oh yeah,
I don't even know.
I mean,
where to start.
I can only imagine, because I've played the latest Metal Gear 5, I think it is. I forget which one it is. Where you're in Afghanistan, and that itself, which tries to be straight, is a nutty game. But when Kojima goes nutty on his own, that is got to be the nuttiest game of all time.
Unchained Kojima, off on his own devices. His first game outside of Konami. He's an insane person. This is an insane game, but it's so good. Like it's just so engaging. I don't really know what else to say. Like it's incredible. It's just,
yeah.
It's open world. You're a delivery man. There's ghosts. You throw your pee at ghosts.
You have a little baby.
Yeah.
You have a baby.
The psychic baby detects ghosts. The rain makes you old. It's everything about it is incredible and nutty and insane, and I loved almost every second of it. It's
I need to get that.
It's so good. But one game as a whole overall took number one, even though I love Death Stranding so much, and it was The Last of Us Part 2.
Ooh.
Oh, I want to mention Death Stranding came out November of last year, November 2019. Last of Us released June 19th, 2020. So this is only 6 years old. I think it just won Game of the Year.
Yeah, 6 months old. But
Game Awards.
Yeah, it's sweeping the awards. It's highly controversial for reasons I don't understand.
It's not controversial. It got like review bombed because people don't like women, I think.
I don't know. It seems like, from all appearance, I'll let you continue on after what I say, but it seems like a game I would love. It seems like a great game. I just, because it's another PlayStation exclusive, have not tried it.
I'm very PlayStation heavy this year, but the thing is, it's because everyone loved the first one. It was critically acclaimed. It was fan acclaimed. And then for some reason, the second one comes out Second one, very highly critically acclaimed, but some small section of weirdos on the internet fucking hated it and did all these weird reviews for it. But after the first week or two of insane backlash on the internet, everyone realized, oh, this is an incredible game that is like one of the best ever made. Like, it's art. Like, this is like, people talk about games as art, and this is art. Like, it plays with your emotions, it plays with your expectations, it goes places you weren't expecting, but also everything else is there. The gameplay is there, the action's there, the sneaking around's there, like, everything about it, I just loved.
I will say, so I think you're talking about the first wave of criticism, I think, is like incels. Like, it was people upset that there was...
I didn't want to say incels, but yeah, it was incels.
Yeah, it was people upset because there was like, I think there's at least one lesbian character and one, yeah, I think there might be a transgender character in the game.
No.
But then I have almost no interest in playing that game because it seems like a tough hang. Like, it seems
so depressing.
It's grim. Not the happiest, that seems, but honestly, it's a balance. Like, it's a grim setting and there's a lot of very sad parts, but it also balances it out with like the hope of where we are and like this can happen and like the humanity of it. So it's the ebb and flow, it's the yin and yang of the human condition. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible game.
Yeah, but I don't know,
it's definitely very heavy.
Yeah, it's also, I could see where maybe I could play it in a year or two and I'd be like, oh yeah, this is good, but it's also like it came out like right in the middle of 2020 and I'm like, oh no, I'm not.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. Both Death Stranding and Last of Us 2, probably not the best games to play this year, but
a lick a bit.
A lot of similarities, but
Joel just locked himself into a room and had that in the Velvet Underground playing in the background.
Mm-hmm. I want to play now.
I plugged right in.
Oh, wow.
I've talked a lot about a lot of great games.
That's a great list. That's a list of games I'm jealous I cannot play.
Yeah, my top three was definitely very solid there as far as like nothing was getting budged out of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, my top three, as you can expect, is kind of junk. But honorable mention, first, this is a game Todd knows well, Territory Idol, which I suppose I have to include because it's technically the game I played the most because I just leave it on in the background all the time.
For me also, that is a game I have played the most this year. But as my rule for myself this year, I did not put any idle clickers on my list.
Oh, see, this was the only one I included. I believe I am up to 440 tiles. So I feel like I will actually complete it by the end of 2021, or at least get all of the cheese.
By the end of 2021?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot to do.
Interesting.
Yeah. I tried out some other clickers, and I don't know, there's just something about the feedback loop in this one that's not bad.
It's more strategy-driven than other clickers that I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of them are just like, oh, just click as fast as you can, or and also when I do that, it really upsets the dog. So I try not to play too many games that do that. Also on my list here is a little game mentioned in past years, Fallout 76.
Ah. Oh.
Which, depending on some point of views, is finally playable. And other people are like, no, it's still not good. But no, it's just kind of mellow. I will say I have not played it much in the pandemic, in quarantine, just because it's in lockdown here.
This year that we've been having?
Yes, yes.
Given us a lot of free time?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the odd thing about it being a multiplayer game is that you can't pause. So if your spouse is at the house, like it's a little tougher.
Spouse in the house.
Yeah.
We got a spouse in the house.
Yeah. Also, if you have a job, it's a lot tougher to play video games. That's what I've also determined.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
Tell that to friend of the show, Hawk.
Oh, let's not blow up his spot here. But I mean, when I was unemployed, I was still spending a lot of time doing things like looking for work and that kind of thing. I could just set aside like an hour or two and be like, all right, I'm just going to sit here and play Fallout. But,
For my wintry break, one of my things I was going to do is because this game, Fallout 76, is on Microsoft's Game Pass, by the way, best value per dollar right now in gaming. It is on Microsoft's Game Pass. I was going to just give it a shot and see what this 76 world is all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's on my list for the holiday break.
Oh. I think I've said this in the past. It's like a C+ or a B- Fallout game. Like, I don't know. They fill up the world with a lot of interesting stuff to do, but then there's like a 14-year-old swear in your ear. So it's like...
What a dream.
I don't know why they bothered. Like it's kind of a cool idea on paper, but it just doesn't work out perfectly. So and let's see, what did I have another honorable mention? This little game called Islanders. It's a fun little build 'em up.
A hockey team?
Where I don't think it has any connection to the hockey team, although I'm not sure. In Islanders, it's just, these little landscapes and you plop down like fields and that kind of stuff. And the goal is to get as many points as you can. And if you pass like 100 points, then you can move on to a new island and then you have to get 200 points and you keep going.
What device is that on? I'm not familiar.
P's the C,
Steam? Is it on the Steam?
It is on the Steam machine.
Okay, I think I might have that in my queue. Okay.
It is a very, very low-key, relaxing game. Like, it's a little more active than an idle clicker, but it's just a nice little game. So, like, one of those games you can kind of, you know, it's dealing about 5 to 10 hours. Todd, I think there's another game that's kind of like Surviving Mars. Have you played that one?
I have it. I have not played it.
Okay, it's like I played that one. That one's a little more active, and I'm still kind of working through that one. But a lot of my gaming was on Steam this year, and there's a lot of games I played for 1 or 2 hours, and I was like, this is okay, but I'm gonna try something else. So my top three. Oh, one more honorable mention. A Todd mentioned from previous years. I think I Am Setsuna.
Yeah. That was an honorable mention for me last year. Yeah.
Yes. If you are a fan of Chrono Trigger, then I Am Setsuna is a game for you.
Yes, I agree.
It is a straight out homage at some points. It's fun. I would have been annoyed if when it initially came out, it kind of got review bombed a bit because I think it cost like $50.
It has the Japanese RPG pricing system, which is when it's new, it's $50. When it's on sale, it's $40.
Mm-hmm.
So it never reaches the American shores because it's so pricey.
Yeah, and I would have been not pleased if I paid $50 for this either, but I paid $15, and that is the perfect
point for this game. I mentioned to you when I bought it. It's like I bought it for $20 at some point, and I said I'd buy it immediately if it's for 15, mm-hmm. and I think it went down there and you got it.
Yes.
Now I agree. This is a game, if you're a Chrono Trigger, you know, classic Square fan, you should play this one. It's just beware, you will fall into the grinding tropes of RPG, Japanese RPG.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also, just if you are looking for deals on games, there is a site, PS Deals, where much like the old Steam Watch or the Steam Watch List, it will email you if a game drops below a certain price. So I did that for Setsuna
and site?
a couple other Square classics. PS Deals is the name of the site.
PS Deals.
Yes. PS as in PlayStation.
As in
PlayStation.
Plays the Station.
Plays the Station. All right, so my top three. Number three, coming in, Slave Aspire.
Oh, wasn't this on your list last year? Wait, this was on my list last year. Wait.
Oh, had Steve not played it?
I don't even remember when I started Maybe. Playing this game. Hey, but
I think this was on your list last year.
It could have been. I mean, it is a game that I sink a lot of hours into.
Interesting. So, a rogued-like card.
I mean, I know it's at least made our Sweeties at least 2 years in a row.
It was definitely there, either on top.
It was either on mine or your list last year, Steve. So.
Hey, oh, well, if you played it. There's nothing prohibiting
if you play
same
it.
Game.
No, nothing prohibiting. Just not, I mean, it's nothing prohibiting, but it's just a testament to how good it is. It's just a great game.
Yeah, it's just really easy to pick up and sink an hour or two into. I think similarly, like FTL, I think landed on our list for multiple years in a row, which I mostly managed to avoid this year, falling into FTL. Somehow. But yes, somehow last year, deep into FTL to get some cheese, but this year not so much. But yeah, Slay the Spire. In case you aren't familiar with it, it's you know, kind of a an RPG card game, roguelike. So it's fun. It's
roguelike turn based, but you use cards as your mm-hmm. battle attacks and spells and shit.
Yes.
There you go.
Number two is a little game that I'm going to give a shout out to my friend DCR for mentioning. Oh. Railway Empire.
Oh,
the trains.
Oh, doing the chews.
A little choo choo up.
It is. So I'm a big fan of Railroad Tycoon 2, which I believe ended up on my list for 2019 or 2018. Also in the number two spot, like very, very high for a 20-year-old PC game. Railway Empire is kind of an updated version of that kind of game. So, I don't know, you can kind of customize it. You can go crazy with the track submission, like the track routing, and decide you're going to be a master station master.
A master chuchman.
Yes, with... You know, I'm going to have four tracks coming into the station, four tracks going out. Or you can just play it on easy mode like I do and turn that off and lay double track everywhere.
Laying track. No,
it's fun. Like, I'm into, like, tycoon games. And it kind of scratches that itch pretty well.
So can you repeat the name for me? What is it?
Railway Empire.
Railway Empire.
It was actually it was free, which also helps.
As a plus.
On the old Epic's game store, which I feel like we've never really talked about. It is the competitor to Steam's The Machine. So
PC
it's
Steam?
Yes. Oh, the Epic Game Store. Okay.
Yes, it's like PC is the Steam, except pretty much worse in every way possible. But
yeah. But they do have a lot more free games on there.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, I feel like they're a deadbeat dad. They're just trying to buy your favor with the free stuff. And it's like, how about, I don't know how this happened, they didn't put achievements in their thing for like 6 or 10 months or something like that. It's like, how do you not launch with achievements? Like people...
Yeah, man, Jeeves, bro.
Yes, people like them. And even now, I cannot find them. Like, they just pop up when I'm playing the game, and I don't know how to actually find which ones I've earned and which ones I
have. I agree, yeah. I have had the same issue. I cannot find my achieve list.
Yeah. So, I don't know what their deal is. For how much money they've dumped into this, you would think that they would just get the interface right. That strikes me as, like, one of the easier parts of this. But, no. Whatever. As long as they keep giving me Railway Empire Championship Manager for free, I guess I'm happy.
Yeah, I mean, in the next up until or time stamping again, but up until Christmas, they have 15-day game a day giveaways going on right now. So you got to log in every day and get a free game, and they're AAA titles, so it's you got to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I got Rocket League, and I still haven't tried that. Everyone freaking loves it. So, my number one. Actually already mentioned The Outer Worlds.
Really?
Ooh, get them worlds
out of here.
No, this is, see, this is, I don't know. I got to play through it again at some point. I might like it better than a Fallout. Like,
it's on.
Like,
I'm almost with you. I'm almost with you there. Except for Fallout has so much more to do. That's the only difference.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, I think it's I think, and not to sound like one of those Fallout hipsters, I think I do like New Vegas better than Outer Worlds.
That's not an insane statement.
No,
it's not insane. I'm with you there.
But it's just the New Vegas DLC kind of pushes it over the top to me versus like all of the other games in that series. But Outer Worlds has a humor that just Fallout does not have. So
there's humor in Fallout, but it's still very dire. But yeah, yes. Overall, Outer Worlds is a lot more fun. It's a lot more fun world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like a fun futuristic direness rather than apocalyptic current direness.
Because I don't know if we mentioned this, I did listen to last year's Sweeties, and Todd and I had this in our top three, but I believe Steve had not played it yet. So I'm very I'm very happy that you found it this year.
This is a game that has made all of our top Sweeties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm not gonna lie. Last year, Santa put it under the tree for me. So that's
sweet Santa.
Yeah, that's why I played it in 2020.
Excellent, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So my queue of PS4 games to play is down to like, I don't know, 12. So that's good. But
down to 12.
Yep. So I don't because every year, like a AAA title like The Outer Worlds ends up at the top of the pile, and I'm like, oh, well, now that I'm a grown-up with a job, this will take me 3 months to get through.
is deep. It's very big. But it's probably overall shorter than a Fallout, but still very long. Yeah.
Yeah, and especially, like, I was trying to get all of the Jeeves at first, so I played through it on the hardcore difficulty mode, which is which is kind of rare for me, but don't worry, you can still save scum. So I still did it. Still did it my way. But that is my top three. So now that we've done the good, let's move on to the sour. Todd, what's in your bottom three?
Ooh. And just a time check, boys. We need to keep the pace going. We've been going long about the good game.
Hey, it's been a while, okay?
Yeah. So I'll go through my worst pretty quickly. I don't think mine will take long. So my actually, it was hard to come up with a third worst this year or three worst this year because I've only been spending time on the good ones this year. You know what I mean, bud? You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. No.
So my third worst, I'm going to say, is a game I bought for $1 on Steam. It was on sale. I was looking for a tower defense game. It was on one of their weekly sales. It's called Yet Another Zombie TD.
I see.
Oh.
And it is just a bad, with reused assets, 3D, little top-down, bad tower defense game. I don't have much to say besides that. Besides, don't buy it, even for a dollar.
Yeah. When Steam games go bad, they can go real bad. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, oh, this is worse than a Flash game.
Yeah, exactly. So that was probably my third worst. My second worst is a game that we all have played. It is a game called Bill and Beer's Combat Basketball.
on my list as well.
First game that was covered on the show makes an appearance.
I mean, it's...
There were 3 months ago.
I absolutely love the concept of the game, which is Bill and Beer, who is known for roughhousing and you know, elbowing it, what have you. He's got his goggles because people poke him in the eyes, whatever. But Combat Basketball is a great concept for a game, but this just does not execute it well at all. I did not enjoy this game.
Yeah.
I know friend of the show, Dale, actually did like some run through where he played the entire, like an entire season in this game. I don't understand how he did that.
Well, Dale is a very thorough man when it comes to playing all of the games we did for the show.
All right, that was my number two. Number one, I would say it's not even a game. It is not a game. I don't think this game exists. I think this is a game that does not exist. Huh. My worst game of the year is on every mobile device when you have an advertisement. There's this game for this bald man where you pull the pin and you can either drop lava on him or drop water on him.
Garden escapes.
Home escapes. Is this even a game? I don't know. That is my worst game of the year because I've seen it a million times and I do not like the bald man.
Yeah. Do not like what is this game?
Someone is it? I can't remember if it was Planet Money or 99% Invisible, but they did a show about those games where the fact that you'll try to click on them to play them, and then the actual game is just like a reskin of Bejeweled or something like that.
Yeah, that's my deal. Is like I kind of want to play this game because it seems like a neat
puzzle game. Yeah.
But it takes me to some Bejeweled clone.
The advertisement and I play that game. Is completely different. Yeah.
But this advertisement appears. I've seen it like every day for the past.
This bald guy years. Is like, endlessly tortured by sharks and lava.
Sharks, yeah.
Like it's like, what is this guy getting into? What's the deal?
I have not seen this advertisement, but I also don't play games on my phone. Right. So all I see is advertisements for presents I've bought my wife for Christmas already.
Oh, and then,
yeah. But no, that's all it shows me, and then I have to frantically scroll past it on my Facebook feed and these other places.
The wonders of the internet.
Yeah. Creepy.
What an amazing choice.
Huel, how about... I feel like we will also have some overlap with your bottom three.
A tiny bit. So, some of these are worse. Some of these are, like, most disappointing, almost. Because, like Todd, didn't play a lot of bad games. I've been very selective. I know what I like. So, here we go. Number three... Gonna go with Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball.
Crossover.
It is technically the worst game I've played probably this year. But, you know, we talked about it. Number two, this is more on the disappointing side, but it's Shadow of the Tomb Raider. This is the third of the new Tomb Raider series.
I've heard so many good things about that series.
Here's the thing. First Tomb Raider, awesome. Next one, Rise of the Tomb Raider, very, very good. Shadow just didn't quite live up to the other two, that's the thing. It's still a good game, like it's not an awful game, but like I said, it's on the disappointing side. There was just something about it that just wasn't quite up to par to the other two. That's all. Still liked it, still played it, it was fine, but...
It's weird to see a decent game make the worst of the year on our list.
I only play good games. But number one... is going to probably come as a surprise to many. But I purchased the Mario 3D All-Stars for the Switch. And I tried playing Super Mario Sunshine, which is a beloved entry from the GameCube. But something about it on the Switch makes it nearly unplayable. I don't know what it is. The controls are just bad. Translated to the Switch, I guess. Like, the jumping is so wonky. Like, you don't stop on time. This is a platformer, mind you. You don't stop on time. I'm over jumping all the time. I've played plenty of Marios. I know how they work. But something with Sunshine on the Switch, it's just not working for me. And
you know, this is a Mario I missed. This is the one, probably one of the few Marios I missed out on. I think a lot of people missed out on this one.
I missed out on GameCube. I played the shit out of GameCube, but for some reason never got Sunshine. But this is a big disappointment for me, is because I was very looking forward when they announced that 3D All-Stars. I'm like, oh, I can finally play Sunshine. Because it's actually hard to find on the GameCube, the disc itself. But got it for the Switch, and very disappointed.
Oh. It's too bad.
I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's the port, but was not feeling it. Did not get very far. But yeah, that's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate number one, but I have to be true.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird that a legit Mario game in the Mario series,
Nintendo,
a flagship game,
Nintendo game,
made it into a worst of the year.
Yeah,
I just couldn't get through it. It was hard.
Yeah, it's not like we're talking about Hotel Mario here.
It's the controls. For the,
CDI.
The controls weren't working.
You hear that, Shiggy? Shiggy, my emotes.
Open your ears, buddy. Open your ears, Shiggy.
Oof.
But yeah, that's my
body. On blast. Wow. All right, so my bottom three. Honorable mention is just a quick one. Star Wars Episode I, The Battle for Naboo. It's an N64 game.
Oh, boy.
you know what? It's not even that bad. It's just kind of average. But I don't know. I was telling you a little bit about it. I had not even heard of this game growing up. Because it's the fourth Star Wars game for the N64. It came out in the last year of the N64.
Very late in the cycle there.
Yeah. And it's also like, oh, why do we want a second game based on The Phantom Menace? And you can kind of tell that they were stretching for things to do. There's a lot of missions set on Naboo.
Well, yeah. They're battling for it.
Yeah, and I frankly did not remember many details of The Phantom Menace, but it's more like just kind of average. It's still fun to blow up things in space. Like, you know, it's hard to mess that up. My actual bottom three here. Number three, Transport Fever. So this is a game like Railway Empire and Railroad Tycoon 2, except bad, because the track construction is just a huge pain in the ass. Like, you know when, like, a physics model is just too realistic in a game? And it's like,
yeah,
you know what, I don't actually want, like, to do all this math. Like, just let me lay some tracks down and run my tubes. So
I don't need to calculate speed vectors.
Yeah, I feel like it's a big issue in space flying games too sometimes. Or that goddamn Top Gun for the NES where you gotta land the plane.
Oh boy.
Nobody can do. That kind of sat my fun out of this game. Number two is a game we played called Beyond Oasis.
This made my short list of possible worst.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a disappointment, as we mentioned on the episode for that, because I had always heard it mentioned, like, oh, this is a Genesis version of Zelda.
Right.
And then I did not even play until we played it for the show, and I was like, no, this is nowhere near that game. So, and my number one, it is a crossover, to use a basketball term, on all three of our lists. Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball.
Oh boy!
You know what? This would not be number one in a normal year. I'm sure we would have played some worse game, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
We were
Garfield.
Pretty picky. Yeah, we were pretty picky at the start of the year.
Yeah. Well, we only did like 10 shows this year, I think. So, and mostly good games.
Yeah. Mostly good. Yeah.
Yeah.
11.
So,
and one was a movie. So there you go.
what was the movie? I'm completely blanking.
Surf
what
ninjas,
was
baby?
Surf Ninjas.
Oh, Surf Ninjas. Classic. The classic.
Yeah.
Game Gear classic.
Leslie Nielsen.
And his 8 minutes of screen time.
Yeah. Yeah. Leslie Nielsen was first on the call sheet, but only for 2 days. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that was my bottom three.
There you go.
But I think we all have the same thing going on where if we're not playing bad games for the show, it's like we're just not going to stick with them. There's just too much good stuff
to
play.
I'm not sticking with
so
it.
Much,
we're
so many good games out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very picky. Yeah. Yeah, very picky, man.
Yes, peak TV, peak video game. So now, next on the agenda, I see we got a video game theater.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I will I'll intro this one. So we've done video game theaters in the past. This is actually our 13th entry into this series. So what we do is I find some scripts online of video games adaptations that might have been abandoned or or risque. They've been rewritten, just abandoned scripts for what are they called in the industry? What are they called? Blacklist. Yeah, it might be the Blacklist. Yeah. So I found one for they wanted to do a gritty reboot of Super Mario Brothers, the movie starring the beloved.
Sequel? I thought this was the sequel to Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, it's a sequel to Super. Yeah, they're writing the sequel. John Leguizamo. You know the Super Mario Brothers from 1992, I believe it came out. John Leguizamo and the beloved Bob Hoskins.
Robert Hoskins.
In the titular role,
Dennis Hopper.
Denny Hops. As Bowser, yeah. So this is the greedy reboot, a script of the greedy reboot. In this one, we have the roles. It's only a two-person scene here, but we have roles for a narrator, of which, of course, Steve will be the narrator, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be playing the role of Mario, and he will be playing the role of Luigi.
Okay.
You said this as if we don't normally do two-person scenes, though. I feel like all of these except one or two have been.
Well, I mean, if we have a guest on the show, then we find a script that has third person
friend of the show, Amanda. No
Amanda,
accent work.
Yes, excellent accent work.
But all right, so I guess I start here.
Yep.
Mario walks into the go-kart storage house. Luigi is in a chair, laying back, staring at the ceiling in nervous contemplation. Mario sits down.
I haven't got a lot to say, Mario.
We have time.
I was kept pretty much in the dark. I didn't know all that much.
What about now? Is there anything you can help me out with? Anything you can tell me now?
They've got Toad. That's all I can tell you.
Mario stands up, paces a few steps, and leans against the window.
I didn't know it was going to be a hit, Mario. I swear to God, I didn't know it was going to be a hit. Dry Bones bumped into me in New Donk City. He said he wanted to talk. He said that you and Bowser were on a big deal together, and that there was something in it for me if I'd help him out. He said that. He said that you were being tough on the negotiations, but if they couldn't get a little help and close the deal fast, it'd be good for the family.
Oh, you believe that story? You believe that?
He said there was something in it for me, on my own.
I've always taken care of you, Luigi.
Taking care of me? You're my kid brother, and you take care of me? Did you ever think about that? Did you ever once think about that? Send Luigi off to do this. Send Luigi off to do that. Let Luigi take care of some Dixie Kong nightclub somewhere. Send Luigi to pick someone up at the airport. I'm your older brother, Mario, and I was stepped over.
That's the way Pop wanted it.
It ain't the way I wanted it. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Not dumb. I'm smart, and I want respect.
Is there anything you can tell me about this investigation?
The Senate lawyer, Waluigi. He belongs to Bowser.
Luigi, you're nothing to me. You're not a brother. You're not a friend. I don't want to know you or what you do. I don't want to see you at the hotels. I don't want to see you near my mushroom house. When you see our mother, I want to know a day in advance, so I won't be there. You understand?
Luigi doesn't immediately answer. Mario walks off.
Mario.
Cut to Yoshi sitting in a chair. Mario walks up to him.
I don't want anything to happen to him while my mother's alive.
Oof. Wow.
Scene.
Powerful.
Wow, that was powerful stuff.
Wow.
Wow.
The Mario family being ripped apart. Of course, as we learned in the first movie, their last name is Mario.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't know that Mario father was so prominent in the lore. I didn't,
and mother, seen... apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. We never meet the Mario mother in the games.
Yeah. Well,
hey,
Maybe. In the movie, there's going to be a a reveal that who the mother is in the Mario series.
Yeah, maybe this was a prequel.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo made a big deal out of that Hyrule Historia book for Zelda. Maybe they'll finally do one for Mario, too.
Oh, the Mario Historia.
Yeah.
Wow. Powerful script. I'm glad you found that.
Yeah. Oof. All right. I'm trying to compose myself here. We have, it looks like, 4 more awards.
Yeah. Wow.
God, you are right. This is a long show.
It is a long show, yeah.
No, it's like
the Oscars. We gotta start running through these. Yeah.
Didn't we do 2 parts sometimes? We'll see.
I don't know.
I feel like we did.
Todd, it seems like you got the first award here.
Yeah, I'm gonna give the 5th annual, I guess. Is it 5th or 6th? I forgot what we're on now.
6.
6th annual DuckTale Award honoring a game having the high primary factors of nostalgia and replayability for the year 2000.
Ooh.
And my nominees for the DuckTale Award
for the year 2000?
2020.
Oh, okay.
My nominees in no particular order are Dr. Mario on the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Excellent.
Super Mario 64 on Nintendo's The 64.
Very good.
And The Sims on the PC.
Ooh. Oh.
That's one of the late entries that's been nominated in this category. But the award, the DuckTale Award honoring nostalgia and replayability for the year 2020 goes to Dr. Mario. Congratulations on the NES.
Wow.
I put a lot of hours into this recently just because Steve and I have started playing on the Retro Achievements website.
Oh.
Where they trigger achievements when you play ROM games on your emulators.
Yes.
And it just encouraged me to play more and get to the next level. And I had a hell of a time playing that Dr. Mario this year.
That's great.
It is such a good game.
So fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it. I pop it on every once in a while. Also one that's on that virtual NES on the Switch that I like.
Mm. I like that Retro Achievements site, although for some games, the list of achievements they have are just insane.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, like, the one for Final Fantasy VI, it's just full of ridiculous, have Zombie Sion escort Terra through the cave to the sealed gate. Just like things you would never do during normal gameplay.
Why are there achievements?
So you're going to say the you got to kind of pick and choose. Yeah, you got to pick and choose a game that you think you can knock them all out. You have to scan the list first before you take them on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, next award is Huel. You're up.
I am, and this is, of course, the Mario 2 Manual of the Year Award. And so for games we covered this year, there were 9 manuals rated. We did cover Surf Ninjas, which received a 0 because Mario 2 was not featured in the movie.
Yeah.
because of course, the Wizard famously got 5 Marios for having Mario 2 in the movie. But the nominees for manuals this year are Pocky and Rocky.
Oh.
Lemmings. You know what? This is the wrong list.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry. It's Pocky and Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
The Sims.
Oh.
Mm.
And Mario 64.
Oh. I feel like I know which one it is.
Mm.
Actually, I don't know. I can't. Cannot.
You can't. Well, I will tell you right now that the winner of the Mario 2 Mario the Year Award, or Manual of the Year Award, is Mario 64.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh. Yes,
I thought it might have. I mean, it's a Nintendo, right?
Yeah, this did earn 5 out of 5 Mario 2s in our final episode before this one. Or actually, our second to last episode, because there was a very strange episode before this. But yeah, Mario 64 wins the Mario 2 Manual of the Year Award. And I would like to mention 2 things that happened. Is I should have said this during the DuckTale Award section, and I'm realizing this now. During the DuckTale guessing game, I had guessed The Sims correctly, at 0.89 DuckTales.
Mm.
And I must mention that Dale had guessed combat basketball correctly at 0.04 DuckTales.
Wow.
I had that noted down.
I mean, that's all in this calendar year, which is fantastic.
Calendar year. Wow.
That is canon. That is canon.
It's in the show.
This calendar year.
Yes. My award is next. Well, it's not my award. It is the Video Game Podcast Award for Excellence in Video Game Podcasting, presented by the Video Game Podcast Award in Video Game Podcasting for Excellence Executive Committee. So,
okay.
Your nominees are Nostalgia, A Chronological Journey Through the Library, the NES. I've mentioned these guys before. They're fun.
Oh, Nostalgia is what you mean.
Nostalgia. Yeah. Okay. I'll let you continue.
They are not from the UK, so they pronounce it Nostalgia.
Nostalgia. Okay.
Yes, with an S, not that hard Z. That hard Z.
Z, yeah.
Yes. Next, the Video Game History Hour, which covers a diverse range of topics from Mario Paint to Sid Meier to the Oregon Trail and Street Fighter 1. Mm-hmm. This one just started up past 2 months. Good. Really fun show. They keep it brisk, under an hour, even though it is called the History Hour. But, you know, a little false advertising, but it's fine. Dragon Quest FM, which is a deep dive on the series. Just Dragon Quest. It's all they cover. Yes. And the final nominee is the YPB Podcast.
Oh, I know those guys.
Yeah. Hey, you know those guys. And the committee has picked the YPB Podcast. So congrats.
Oh,
we did it, guys.
Congratulations.
Yes.
To them, yeah.
Great choice.
I mean, Nostalgia is a great show. I've listened to the first 30 episodes so far, and I do like their antics and how they go through the entire Nintendo catalog. I enjoy that show. It's a good show.
Yeah, I kind of like to just pop in and out, like especially if I've played the game and I want to hear their take on it. Whereas I think they have now been doing the show for more than 3 years because they're on like 154 or something like that, and they're still like I think they've played like one RPG, and like they are, it's still like a bunch of like these crap games. Platoon, I think, was their most recent game. And it's like, wow, it's, you know, you don't based realize do you?
Based on
the
movie. Charlie Sheen classic, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting take on how to cover the game, which is they are going chronologically through each game, no matter what game it is. They must cover it.
Yeah. And you don't realize until they do that, it's like, oh, they released that that Power Pad game, World Class Track Meet, twice. So you have to
do it twice.
Yeah, they like the second one I think was like 15 or 20 minutes, but yeah, like you don't realize, you think, oh, it's the good old days. They didn't have to reshovel out games like that, but it's, no, they did that more, in fact. All right, well, next, Todd, this is the most prestigious award every year, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, let me pull up the list here. We have the nominees for the most prestigious award of the year, the Sweet Baby Boy of the Year Award.
Yes.
And I say it the same way every year. And the nominees for SBB of the Year are Huell Hauser.
Oh, my.
Oh.
Stephen Greenwell.
Oh. Me.
And Todd Brisket.
Wow.
Ooh. Oh. Congratulations, Todd.
You know, it's an honor even to be nominated in this award. But the winner is a write-in. It is friend of the show, Smo.
Whoa!
Kazi Smo, Cosmo.
Wow.
Breaking the gender barrier, smashing through the glass
Smo
ceiling.
Smo has won Sweetest Baby Boy of the Year Award. Congratulations,
Boy
Smo.
Of the Year.
She won this one hands down due to being the, I would say, our biggest fan in our absence, which is, she always asks, is so sad to say, honestly, there's no episode to listen to this week.
She brings it up often. that she misses the Sweet Baby Boys. And excellent choice by the committee.
Yeah.
No arguments here.
I mean, without her influence, we've already sworn a blue streak this episode.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, deep.
What if you fly?
Deep in our cups.
Yeah.
I mean, my cup is coffee and oatmeal, but still. Wow.
Excellent. Congratulations, of course.
I know. Well, that does it for the award portion of the show. So let's move along to the other features. Todd, I understand we have a voicemail this week.
We do. We do. And now it's where you have to cut because I have to look at it.
No, it stays in. It all stays in now.
It all stays in. Okay. Let me pull it up here. All right, you boys ready?
Yes.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Good evening, YPB. It is I, Vincent Price.
Oh, no.
You've done well in the past, heeding my warning. But this year, you chose to ignore the spoop times.
Oh, no.
I warned you to beware, and now you have brought great peril upon humanity. You shall all be cursed to stay in your homes and not be able to leave. You'll be unable to see any family, friends, or loved ones.
Mm.
Oh, no. Or to gather in large groups to enjoy live events. What's that? That's already happening? Oh, crap. I guess you'll just get really, really sick and possibly die if you do.
Mm.
Huh? That's happening too? Oh, God damn it.
Oh, no. Wow.
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 Vincent Price. He's called in before. Vincent
Price came back, to warn us of the spoop times.
We missed the spoop times this year.
Oh, man.
And he's put a curse on us.
A curse that's unfortunately already happening, so I guess he didn't have any other ideas.
You know what? This is a curse. This is a curse that I personally like.
Oh, boy.
Not because of people dying, not because of that. Come on, guys. I like it because it lets me avoid going out and stay home and do my thing, which is play games and chill out, drink some brewskis, you know?
I mean, of all years to be cursed, it seems to be lining up okay for Todd.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not an awful night to have a curse, as I say in Castlevania 2.
Oh, true. Grab that wall meat.
Grab that wall meat.
Grab that wall meat. Been eating a lot of wall meat this year.
Did we ever play Castlevania 2? I can't even remember.
Yeah.
I think we did.
I know that I mentioned it constantly because it has those goddamn tornado puzzles.
Sympathy of the Night?
We did Sympathy. We did Sympathy of the Night. And we definitely did Castle 1.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Castle 3. We did Castle 3 as well.
I think we skipped 2 because Steve hated
it. Oh, we might have skipped. Yeah, we might have skipped 2.
He's like, let's not play because it sucks.
Yeah. that feels right because we did it on a Halloween on a spoop time and we're like, we're tired of bad games. Let's just skip to a good one.
And I wonder if we just play Castlevania 2 and make a episode about it. It'll cure the curse that's been.
An amends.
You never know.
Yeah.
Maybe we can
release it for Valentine's Day.
Hey, there you go.
Mend his heart.
Vincent Price's heart.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Oh. Well, I mean, it was still good to hear from him, though.
Yeah, I was very happy to hear that.
Yeah. I'm glad he's doing well in heaven or hell, wherever he ended up.
Seems to be in some kind of limbo.
Yeah.
So he continues.
Well, I mean, pretty sure he passed away at some point.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's dead. Yeah.
He's very dead.
Yeah, he's with the rest of the ghoulies doing the monster fuck. That's what he's doing.
Oh, oof. Oof. Wow. Watch your profanity.
he was doing it. I felt like I need to get in on the act.
It's been a while. Loosen that belt.
Well, for Heel, it's okay because he's a bad boy. He's a bad boy with a bad mouth.
Well, we should move along to the email portion of the show, though. Todd?
Mm-hmm. Letters. We've got letters. Okay, I got an email, and I cannot really decipher what it says, but I hope you boys can help out. Okay, it says, "Dear YPB, should a 6-year-old boy play GT5? So a parent buying a GTA 5 game for his young kid, GT and EB Games, the dad told to pick a game and the boy picks GTA 5. Sincerely, not two kids in a trench coat."
Oh, wow.
Should a 6-year-old play GTA 5?
Well, should a 6-year-old boy play GT 5?
6-year-old old boy.
Well, see, GT 5 is fine, but GTA 5 is not
fine. Gran Turismo 5, fine.
Yes.
Okay.
Gran Turismo Auto 5, not so fine.
Okay. I mean, I think that's pretty clear right there. Should a 6-year-old old boy play GT 5? Yes. Yes, he should.
The answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. Zoom them cars around.
Yeah. Zoom them cars.
Oh, wow. This is, man, it's too bad we never played Gran Turismo, because this has a great Japanese name to pronounce. All
post-2000.
Yeah. Well, when I don't know when the first one came out. I feel like the first one's right on that cusp. But but yeah. All right. Well, Huel, did you get any mails?
Fortunately, yes. We did send out the feelers about a week ago to say, hey, mail your mails in. We're doing a sode. And I got an email. It says, or it reads, "Dear YPB, I saw a message that you were coming back for an end of the year episode, and it brought back many memories. Memories of my son and him finding joy and solace in your podcast during his troubled existence. It also brought back memories of him coming back to life as a disembodied being on the internet and then integrating himself permanently into our public library's computer system. I thought you might want to know how he's doing. I visit him at the library sometimes. The librarians there don't like me coming around because my son causes too much trouble, as they say. Whenever people try to use one of the computers there, the browser just instantly goes to ypbpodcast.com. The only books they're allowed to check out are all the ones Steve Greenwell talked about involving video games whose titles I can't remember. It's clear that my dear boy still loves your podcast, and I'm sure it will bring him many ones and zeros of joy knowing that a new episode is coming. P.S. Anyone planning on getting a PS5 or new Xbox? I heard they were hard to find.
Ooh.
Sincerely, Scooterbutt 41.
Oh, Scooty.
Old Scooty's dad.
Old Scooty Senior. Yeah.
Letting us know how the AI that his son became is doing.
Nice to hear an update on fans.
Love to hear it. Thank you, Scooterbutt 41.
Mm.
Little wow. Ask tagged on the end there.
Wow. So for the ask, I would say no, I'm not searching out one of the newer systems, yeah, just because I do have a new PC I got in last year that I'm playing all my games on. I got so many games to play on the PC. How can I even consider getting something else right now at this point? I might pick one up later in a few years once my kids break our Xbox One. That's my agenda.
Smash the disc drive. Yeah, I'm in the same boat of just catching up on the games I've already bought. And since it's so hard to find, not really itching to get one yet. I'm sure I'll get one sometime next year. It's kind of my plan once they kind of catch up with the false scarcity that they've put out there. But yeah, I'll probably pick one up next year, but not in any rush.
I feel like I'm in the same boat with you guys. If anything, I might get a Switch because I don't have a Switch yet.
Oh, you're switchless. You're switchless.
Yes.
Fill that Switch.
Yeah, just it's weird. Nintendo really is in their own ecosystem now. Where
they're
just
on,
like,
they're on their own.
yeah, it's just like the, we're gonna print money. We're just gonna sell this system. We're gonna make most of the games on it, and you know, maybe there will be some older indie PC games that we'll port over to. But no, we're getting $9 out of every $10 people spend on this system.
Yeah, they don't. God.
Yeah, those smart bastards.
Yeah, it's weird how if you make good games, people will want to play them and buy them.
Yeah,
kind of their model.
Yeah.
Pretty out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, as we discussed also on the show, they'll sometimes just make games, then decide, "Nah, screw it, let's not release this. Let's just sit. Let's just sit on Earthbound Zero and Star Fox 2
forever."
Yeah, people don't want to play these. Let's make 5 NES classics and only ship them to a Kmart in Nebraska. That's the only way you can get one. Speaking of the weird games that the weird books that I mentioned, Worlds of Power. We never did get around to reading any of those.
That's true.
Yeah, we could have read the novelization of Bases Loaded 2.
They did that one? Wow.
Yes, they did. The rest of these kind of sort of make sense, like Ninja Gaiden and Wizards and Warriors and Bionic Commando, and then it's Bases Loaded 2. Baseball game. Oh, God. All right, I got to power through. So, emails. I got a couple here. This first one, dear YPB, what a treat. Welcome back to the airwaves in these unprecedented and uncertain times. I've missed you. I have some asks. One, why do cats throw themselves on the ground in front of you? Seems like a bad idea for potential stepping on. Two, why do dogs greet their owners so enthusiastically when they get home? Three, why is Rocky Road the worst ice cream ever?
What? Okay.
Four, why don't my kids listen and worship the dumbest YouTubers? I feel like that may have meant to be why do, not why don't. But
well, I think it's why don't my kids listen, and also why do they worship the dumbest?
Like the two questions then. That's a 4 and a 5. But
yeah, that's just a poorly, terribly written email.
Yes. Thank you, YPB, your pal Smo.
Oh,
the sweetest baby boy. Sweetest
baby boy of the year.
Happened to write in. Thank you so much.
Hell, I'm kind of sad she's not here right now to give us a power rankings of the kids, as she often does. Hey. But
yeah,
best kid of the year.
Yeah, I mean, as listened as told on the last year's sweeties, Rocky Road very low on the list of Smo's ice cream rankings, which is very surprising considering Moose Tracks was her top. I mean, those are almost the same ingredients.
Well, she's consistent here from year to year.
Is it the nuts? Is it the chocolate? I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. I think the Mallows are a real turnoff for her, I guess.
The Mallows.
What's the deal?
Which are a real turn on for me, because the reason why I do like Rocky Road is that I like that little texture shift over to the Mallow.
You got the melting iced cream, and you get right into that Mallow.
Mm.
You mellow in the Mallow.
Mallow, Super Mario RPG character, I believe.
Correct.
I don't know. Did you guys have any answers for why do cats throw themselves on the ground in front of you? Seems like a Smo-specific problem there.
They got lives to spare, so they're all throwing themselves around willingly.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Dogs greet their owners because they're the best animal on the planet.
Ooh.
Rocky Road is not the worst ice cream, so incorrect.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have like crepe flavored ice cream. I think that's probably worse.
Yeah, Nathan for you, episode one.
Yeah, Nathan for you.
really?
Why don't my kids listen? Probably because kids are the worst. And why do they listen to dumb YouTubers? Probably because kids are the worst.
Kids are the worst.
Mm, yeah.
Get a double.
They have, that's my peeve of the year, is these annoying YouTubers that make people. They make Minecraft and Fortnite videos that are just annoying. Annoying as hell.
Here, kids, watch this other kid play with toys so then that you can bother me to get those toys.
The wonders of technology.
All right. I got two more emails here. Hey, hey, sweet baby boys. Thank you for this long-anticipated return show. Have you guys been going through retro gaming withdrawals during all this time off? Longing for your rankings of Manuals, DuckTales, and Herzogs? Regardless, it is awesome to see you back and hopefully back again for more in the future. Here are the top three and worst three games I played in 2020. Top three, Demon's Tilt. Perfect modern take on Devil's Crush.
I don't know what either of those are.
I do not know either. number two, Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, solid.
Excellent choice.
Finally beat the fourth Divine Beast, now just to finish the game. Number one, Mortal Kombat 11.
Oh. So,
give me a second. Was the first one you mentioned number three?
Yes. The first one was number three.
You said number one.
Demon's Tilt.
I am. Okay, sorry. Number one. What was it?
Mortal Kombat 11.
Okay. My bad.
Yeah. Demon's Tilt, that sounds like something you would ride at Six Flags. Same.
Yeah, true.
Maybe Satan's Six Flags.
Yeah, same thing with Devil's Crush. Same thing. But Mortal Kombat 11. Aftermath Story DLC delivered, played a ton online with a friend this year, and working in four of the original movie actors into the game with their voiceovers has been the best kind of fan service.
That is good. I didn't know they did that. That's very incredible. Appealing to have the motion picture actors take place in the Mortal Kombat game. Yep. Yeah.
Hey, gotta pick up that check. Worst three. Number three, Rally Challenge 2000, How Not to Do Rally Racing, which I believe that's an N64 game. Number two, Power League 64, which is an undesirable import baseball sim with a catchy jingle. I'm oddly now intrigued because it's a baseball sim, but
I don't want to hear that song.
Yeah. He's done a poor job here. Number one, this might be a game that Huel has played. Oh. WCW Nitro 64.
Wow. What?
Isn't that a good game? I remember that being a good game.
World Tour was good. Is it World Tour?
No, WCW Nitro 64.
Oh, I'm thinking WCW NWO World Tour. I think Nitro was the one before that.
Mm. Yeah, I do believe
this is before they worked out their kinks and got the system down. Right. Right.
Yeah,
it's,
obviously
it's the WrestleMania 2000 to No Mercy of WCW games.
Yeah, like No Mercy is famously the best. But hope you all have a hold up. My fax machine is going off, and yes, I believe this fax contains a question to you from a certain someone, and that was from Dale. And then there's also, what's up, YPB? I had to pull my big rig off to the shoulder to fax this to you before your deadline. I heard you are all into some cosmic bowling. What's your bowling high score? Furthermore, may I suggest you the cosmicest bowling video game of all time, Milo's Astro Lanes for N64. My cousin got jealous of my moonlighting game dev experiences in Rap Jam and Slam City and had to one-up me and got one of the characters in that game named after him. I attached a pitch on this fax I entrust will be forwarded to you. Your baddest bud, bring back Slam Ball.
There he is.
Wow. He returned.
You know, I've never heard of this Milo's Bowling Jam.
Milo's Bowling Jam?
Milo's Astro Lanes.
Astro Lanes?
Milo's Astro Lanes.
That was Tom's Bowling Jam in my head.
I know. It's probably for the best we never got to the Wii era of gaming because, you know,
we'd be 58 years old.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, chronologically, that's when we would get to it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of crap lurking on, like, the NES and the N64, but the Wii is, like, a whole different beast of just awful, awful games. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that sounds like one of those games that would come out for the Wii, but, oh, God, Milo's Astro Lanes.
Not a lot of bowling games out there without motion controls.
No. Well, All right.
Nice I had to hear one, from one. You both, though.
Yeah. I had one final one. This one is, hi, YPB boys. If I hack my microwave oven so that it runs with the door off, would this be dangerous? Best wishes. Best wishes. And hey, Merry Christmas from Todd Hauser.
Really?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I feel like I know that guy, but I'm not sure.
Heard of him.
So if you hack your microwave door
hack
off?
Microwave.
If I hack,
like with a hatchet?
I hack my microwave oven so it runs with the door off. With this
oh, microwave oven. Like microwave oven.
Cowboy?
If you hack your microwave oven to so, run with the door off.
So that you're just microwaving the whole house, I guess.
I'm sure it would save on heating bills.
I feel like that's bad. What if you just have something metal in your kitchen then? Does that mean your microwave will explode?
Remove all the metal from your kitchen and I think
hey man, let me tell you something, man. You know that cell phone you got in your pocket right now? What do you got there? You got microwave radio waves coming off of that thing right now going straight into your brainstem. Right into your nuts, man.
Your nards.
You guys could tell me anything about the microwave. Any answer to this question, and I'll just believe it. Like I have no clue how a microwave works.
Yeah, it's 100% safe.
Well, all right.
Case closed.
All right, I'm gonna try it tomorrow.
Take all the metal out of your house, and
it'll
be fine.
Then you have an efficient heating system. You know, you got up there, you know, you flew down, which is very nice. You boys flew down to Austin so we can record in person again for this episode, like we do every year. But when you go
every week,
you go back when you go up to Jersey or Pennsylvania, wherever that is, in New England,
they're all the same up here.
Yeah. And you got that snow falling down and it's cold outside. Get that radiator out of there. Get that hacked open door microwave in there, man. Just get all your mommy's silverware, put it in the garage first, and then pop that bad boy on. Put it on for a good 10 minutes.
Okay.
You're going to be toasty warm.
Wow.
You're going to be toasty warm. Oh, microwaves, man. Microwaves.
Okay. Mm. I'll try it.
The only thing better is if you can get that door off your air fryer. That might give you a nice.
It'll fry the air itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fries the air.
It depends if
you don't have to take a shower anymore.
Yeah, it depends if you just want to be warm or if you want to be George Hamilton. If you want that kind of look.
The reference everyone knows.
Hey, listen, the kids love George Hamilton as much as they love Ben Vereen.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen George Hamilton's YouTube Fortnite show?
Yeah. Listen, Dionne Warwick is now a Twitter star.
A Twitter personality.
And it's
I don't know how it happened.
Honestly, I took a look. I was impressed. I was legitimately impressed.
It cannot be her.
It does seem a little too good, but
it cannot be her.
It wouldn't surprise me if it's one of those things like George Takei's account where it was him a little bit, but then once it became a thing, he hired joke writers and sweetened it.
The Iron Sheik.
Yeah. Oh boy. Well, Todd, did we have an ask this week?
Oh boy. Ooh, we've been way long on this anniversary show here, but we do have somebody needs our help.
Yes.
So let us ask the sweet boys. All right, send in all your life questions to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we will keep you anonymous and solve all your problems. And this is from an anonymous, and I feel like it's prescient because Steve does have those triplets on the way, and he's going to deal with this someday.
Right.
This anonymous entity's ask. The subject of their ask is, how does my husband help our little girl who is constipation?
Oh, no.
Is constipation.
Okay. Lately, our 7-year-old daughter has had big black stools that are hard as stone. She has been constipated for the last 3 days, and we are at our wits' ends as to what to do. I was thinking of having my husband use his finger to help remove the impaction, but not sure if that's the best way.
Oh, okay. No. So not constipated.
Constipation is a very uncomfortable condition. Huh.
Oh, God.
Maybe soak her in water for an hour.
Yeah, loosen her up a little bit.
Help loosen things up, you know.
I'm really sad that from the show Smo is not here right now.
She would have the expert advice for sure.
I was just gonna say, you know, your daddy, bounce her on your knee a little bit.
Shake her up. Okay.
I feel like that's very dangerous. You're right in the splash zone right there.
Put down your Gallagher plastic sheets first.
Full poncho.
Full poncho.
Wood and everything.
I showed Gallagher to someone recently, and they did not find it humorous.
Was it your wife?
Oh no. Somebody different. Somebody different. Oh, wow.
Jax?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you say that. No, it was not the dog. It was a coworker.
I'm sorry.
It was a damn Zoomer.
Oh, it was damn Zoomers.
New age Zoomers.
They don't get mallet humor.
I didn't understand how big mallet-based humor was in the early 80s. Well, I think we helped that person.
I guess so. Yeah. Foolproof plans.
Yeah, with their constipation.
Tough.
Well, all right. Well, we're on to a little section called plug. Uh-huh. I think you're the only one with a plug. So,
well, I did want to mention, for anyone who wants to listen to me for whatever reason, I am actually doing two podcasts currently. They're not your parents' basement. So first is called A New Low. It comes out every Friday. It's just me and four other dorks talking about the ups and downs of life during the week. You can go to anewlow.co for all the links and downloads for that, or search on any podcast app. And anyone who likes Hamilton, the Broadway musical, I'm doing
okay.
Not the $10 dude, but it's about them. I'm doing a podcast called Who Does a Podcast, where we are reviewing a song a week from the soundtrack, me and one other co-host, Joe. It's very niche, but it's very fun. So if you like that, check that out. It's also on anulo.co. I've somehow stumbled into starting a podcast network. Don't know how it happened, but go there for all the links to that. We have other shows to check out. So yeah, it's fun. I like it.
Yeah. I will say, if you're listening to this show and you like it, you will like those shows.
I use my shoot name on those shows. This is my case.
Yeah, you use your show name, your showbiz name on those shows.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. Hamilton is a show that people like.
People like it, including me.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to make a podcast out of it.
Yeah, I do like that you described him as the $10 bill guy.
Mm-hmm. That's him. Woof,
yeah.
Woof.
Todd, do you have a dog now or something?
Not yet.
Okay, because that wasn't my dog, so I guess it was just a random noise. Anyways, we should wrap up. In hour three of our telethon, Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say tonight?
Not in particular. It was fantastic hanging out with you two again. Big fan of doing this again. Sweet. I've been smiling all day waiting for this to happen, and I loved every second of it.
Oh,
wow. So sweet.
Oh.
Todd, how about you?
Check me out on Your Uncle's Attic, and I will see you later.
You know, I just have to look up something real quick. Okay, good. Your uncle's attic is not actually like a right-wing group or anything weird like that.
Oh, great, good. Great idea, yeah.
Yeah, now that we've...
Well, it's part of the store name.
Yeah, now that we've mentioned it about 50 times randomly in 24 different episodes. So...
not canceled, not canceled. Ooh,
yeah. Whew. Nice. Yeah, it'd be like in middle school when you would tell people to go to whitehouse.com so that they would get in trouble.
Is that a bad website?
Oh, you, yeah.
Whitehouse.gov is the real one.
Oh, I
yeah.
see.
Yeah. For, maybe I'm... Our listeners. No, well, it isn't anymore, but for the longest time, whitehouse.com was a notorious porn site. So, yeah. Anyways, that's your lesson, early internet history. Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
Things.
Yes, 1997. So, yeah, I guess it should be covered by the show. All right. Well, thank you, Sweet Baby Boys. It's been a pleasure. And here's a snifferoo from something.
We have gremlins in the projection booth. Could you help us? Gremlins? In this theater? Now? Okay, you guys, listen up. People pay good money to see this movie. When they go out to a theater, they want cold sodas, hot popcorn, and no monsters in the projection booth. Do I have to come up there myself? Do you think the Grimsters can stand up to the Hulkster? Well, if I were you, I'd run the rest of Gremlins 2 right now.
Sorry, folks. It won't happen again.